Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. So glad that you've joined us this evening. I am joined, as usual, by the full J-Square contingent, Mr. Jason Tross on my right, Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Mr. Marty Sparks, because he gets it popping in the screening room. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's program. As I often and usually do, I want to remind you that family is the first institution that God created, and as a result, we should have a proper understanding and view of family. Let us make sure that we are not sacrificing our families on the altars of external faithfulness, but that we are serving our families well. Marriage is ministry. Parenthood is ministry. And I encourage you to approach your families as you make your ways, most of you from your part-time jobs to your full-time job, to do so with full intentionality, that you show up ready and prepared to offer everything that God has forged inside of you to make that available to your family. And I just had this thought. I'll share it with you guys. I had a moment yesterday that I had to say, whoa. So yesterday, and since y'all know I brought my oldest son in the studio, it sparked off a cascade in my house. All of the children are saying, well, Daddy, when are you going to take me to work? So I'll probably bring this next child this week, my oldest daughter. She's 6 years old, and she had, which was a first for the Hamilton family, her first piano recital. So she's learning to play the piano, and she had a recital yesterday. And man, I'm sitting there listening to my daughter play the piano and looking at her up on stage, and all of a sudden it seemed like somebody opened a window because my allergies started acting up. I was like, what's going on here? I didn't know they allowed pollen and things of that nature inside of buildings like this. What's going on here? And man, I was overwhelmed, and next thing you know, I had some moist lubrication falling down my face. And I'm thinking, she is growing up. She is growing up. And man, it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moment for me. And it was just a snapshot in time because I remember when she was born. I feel like that was yesterday. And now she's only six. And some of you listen to me, oh, Abraham, she's only six. But she's growing up, man. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment. So congratulations again, Anna. You did a wonderful, wonderful job. And mommy and daddy, we are proud of you. Proud of you. Praise God. Well, we're going to begin this part of the show, this segment, by turning to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And in the book of Hebrews, it's not clear as other books who is the author. It appears, in my opinion, from the way that the Greek text is written, that Apostle Paul is the author of Hebrews, but there is no consensus on that. However, what is clear is that the book is written primarily to a Hebraic audience, and conveying to this Hebraic audience that Jesus is the Messiah whom the Jews were looking for. And in fact, I'm going to read a portion of the text. I'm going to read from verses 11 through 14. But verse 11 is going to begin with the Hebrew writer saying, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you become dull of hearing. The thing that the Hebrew writer is discussing as being hard to explain is a previous conversation in the verses that precede what we're going to pick up today, where an apologetic is being offered for Jesus Christ being the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. That is what is being referred to. But we're not going to focus on that so much today in this moment. But I'm going to read these verses and dig into this a little bit. So verse 11, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, it says this. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, or the King James says, a babe. But solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Read verse 14 again. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, what we have here in this portion, verse 14 explains how this audience got dull of hearing to where Apostle Paul, where the Hebrew writer had to say, it's hard for me to explain this to y'all because y'all become dull in your hearing. Well, verse 14 explains how that dullness set in. The dullness set in because those who, as a result of consistently utilizing their powers for discernment, or having their, as the King James Version says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. This audience became dull because though they were around the things of God, though they were close to the scriptures, they became dull in their, they became dull because they weren't putting into practice what they were hearing. Very similar to James saying, we want to be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. And the thing that I want to communicate is that, folks, if you don't realize it yet, and I know all of you listening to me realize this, that we are living in a sin-sick, fallen world. But if we are not intentional about exercising our powers of discernment, which requires us, as I've said repeatedly, to judge, there's certain shows we shouldn't watch. There's certain things we shouldn't do. And I am not by any means going to sit here and try to give you a list of these things. But what I will say is that if you are in the family of God and the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, you know the things you should be turning off. You know the things you should be turning away from. The Apostle Paul said in another place, he said that all things are lawful to me, but not everything is expedient. Some stuff is just not beneficial. And my reference to us living in a sin-sick, fallen world, if we are not intentional, the carnality of the world will seep its way into our lifestyles. I've said many times, we live in such a pornographic culture, a pornographic society. Many of us don't realize that some of your favorite shows are pornography. But because they said, well, this is the hottest new show, you know, this is the hottest new series that's on, many Christians are consuming these things in broad swaths. And I'm not trying to come from a high, lofty perch with my big, long, Dikembe Mutombo-sized wagging finger saying, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But what I am saying is posing a question. When the Hebrew writer says, you have become dull, my question is, have you become dull? Is it difficult for you to distinguish between those things that are beneficial, those things that are expedient, and those things that are the weights? In Hebrews, where it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, which so easily ensnares. Some of the things that ensnare, folks, are not Hollywood bright light sins. Some of it is stuff that we've just become accustomed to. In my family, we talk all the time, just because something is popular doesn't make it normal. Why do I do that? Because I want my children and my family to understand that we define normality based on the word of God. So no matter how popular things are, it doesn't make them normal. Some of the most popular television series now are nothing other than pornography with a storyline and big budget cinematography. But the draw is pornography. But it's become so common that a lot of Christians are rebuffed because what? Well, I don't want to be corny. I don't want to be the only one around the lunch counter that don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't want to be the only one that don't have HBO. And the thing is, how do you know whether or not you become dull? One good thing, way to measure is, what do you find pleasure in? What is attractive? What is something that you enjoy? It's kind of hard. I'm going to say this looking away from the camera. It's kind of hard to holler out like David did. Lord, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. At the same time, you enjoy graphic sex scenes and violence. That's kind of hard. I'm sure some people do it. And again, I'm not trying to take away people's liberty. We have liberty in Christ, of course. But the issue is, have we become dull? Because we see this, in my opinion, we have a crisis level lack of discipleship taking place in the Lord's church today. Crisis level. It's so bad that in many churches across the country, not every church, some churches are doing a great job, but in many churches across the country, they don't even know how to make disciples. It is a foreign concept. In many places, they have reduced discipleship formation to this, what I describe as nothing more than a churchianity etiquette class. That how do you conduct yourself when you enter the building? Oh, we stand, but we don't sit. We sit, we don't stand. We have to, we do. That's etiquette. That's not discipleship. But in many instances, we don't even have a clue how to even go about it. And in some places, we're so consumed with being attracted to unbelievers, we don't even recognize it, but we've transformed the gathering of the saints into a carnal flesh fest. And we don't even realize it. The Hebrew writer says, at the time that you should be able to teach others, you have need to be taught again. The basic principles, the foundational things. At the time where you should be graduated onto solid food, you have to go back on the nipple. Why? Because you have not had your senses for discernment exercised by reason of consistent and daily regular usage. When verse 14 says, being trained, having your discernment trained by constant practice. It's not saying practice in the sense of someone practicing before a game. It's using practice in terms of like a legal practice. A legal practitioner is a lawyer who practices law. You have some lawyers that don't practice. And a non-practicing lawyer, especially those who don't do trial work, their skills for trial advocacy will not be sharp. At the time you should be objecting, you're letting questions roll. Objection, man. A lot of us, we need to get some objections going on in our day-to-day lives. Hey, why don't you come over and do this? Objection. Nah, man, we don't do that, man. I'm a believer. I love God, man. I'm not trying to condemn anybody else, but this is not conducive for me. You know, one of the most powerful family devotion times I had with my family is where there was some things going on, and a while ago, we got rid of Netflix. And my children were heartbroken over some of the things. Well, they weren't heartbroken. They were just disappointed because they had become accustomed to some shows. And we were like, man, these things are not appropriate. And my wife and I were able to sit down and tell our children some of the things that we had to turn away from, that we weren't just getting rid of Netflix for them. There were things on Netflix that weren't beneficial for us. You know, can I just be real with y'all? I'm just going to be 100% candid. I had another conversation with a brother in the church back in New Orleans. I said, man, do you realize lust is spiritual? It's not physical. Having a physical outlet is not a remedy for lust. You could be married and cultivate the spiritual appetite for lust even within your marital union. He was like, hey, really? I said, yes, man. Yes. Because lust is spiritual. The people who have misinterpreted the scripture when it says that the marriage bed is undefiled, that doesn't mean you do anything and everything in there. All that scripture is simply saying is that the marital context is the only appropriate outlet for physical activity. But it's not saying you swing from the rooftop, from the rafters. Somebody's upset with me right now. Just because you can put a pencil in your ear don't mean a pencil belongs in your ear. I'm going to move on from that one kind of slow, Marty. You know, I can't stay there too long. What I'm saying is that just like the proverbial frog in the boiling water, the temperature on the water is not increased all at once. It's increased slowly, almost imperceptibly, to where you don't realize when it's gone from 90 degrees to 91. And then by the time you realize it, you're at 110 and your legs are cooking. I'm saying that we need to get back to employing our powers for discernment. Sharpen ourselves in discernment by the Spirit of God, by using what God has given us. Because just like a muscle, you may have it, but if you don't use it, it atrophies.
The fight for free speech intensifies. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Imagine a child that you dearly love struggling with emotional conflicts and the proper counseling is not available. Well, that's what's happening right now in New Jersey. Freedom of speech is violated by the state's counseling ban. The ban forbids professionals from providing counseling and minors from receiving any counsel to reduce or eliminate unwanted same-sex attractions. Right now, Liberty Counsel is refiling this important case in the New Jersey lower court, and we will then take this case back up to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's clear the bans are a direct attack on First Amendment rights. Clients and counselors have a right to speak privately about whatever they want, and this right needs to be protected. No government has the authority to invade the counseling room just because it doesn't like the moral beliefs being represented. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org.
Sure, not every kid is destined to rule a country or run a Fortune 500 company, but every kid can be a leader. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Leaders are those who govern themselves. They're not mindless followers. They're secure in what they know is right, and they walk in the truth regardless of whether others come with them. Now, that's the type of person we want our sons or daughters to become. But how can parents raise leaders in their own home? It all starts with setting the example. Mom and Dad, show your teen how to do the right thing even when it's hard, and to stay calm under pressure and to treat others with respect. Leadership is caught, not taught. So if you want to raise a leader, you have to be one first.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Check out his latest resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The hideously misnamed Equality Act starts its journey through Congress this week. Do not let the talking snake media lie to you. This bill does not have anything to do with equality. It's all about homosexual supremacy. The homosexual agenda will trump everything, including religious liberty. The bill specifically guts the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, so there will be no religious exemptions, no First Amendment protections for Christians based on their sincerely held belief in the Word of God. Jack Phillips will be compelled to bake the cake or go to jail. Since there will no longer be any freedom of religion protections, if your pastor declares that homosexuality is a sin, he'll go to jail and be treated just like he was a member of the KKK. It's time for us to call our congressmen and tell them to just say no to the Homosexual Supremacy Act.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Well, some people are saying that, Abe, you're stirring the pot. Can't say amen, say ouch. I don't mean to stir the pot. And sometimes we wonder, and I was just talking with Jeff and Jason and Marty off the air, why it's so difficult for us to discern the Lord's will or to understand what decision we may need to make or to be effective in ministry. We don't realize that we're so full of the world's junk that the Lord has to overcome the things that we've ingested in order to get to us to communicate the truth that we need to apply or to convey or even to receive, man. And it's just a setup. So let's not allow the world to boil us in the proverbial pot. But let's be the called out ones that the Lord has ordained us. The called out ones the Lord has ordained us to be. And thank you all for listening on the various formats that you're listening. I want to remind you, you can also subscribe to the podcast, or you can subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Hamilton Corners YouTube channel. I encourage you to do that. That will be very helpful for us. And we have live streaming, audio streaming on AFR.net or UrbanFamilyTalk.com, video streaming on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter now as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Hamilton Corner, at Hamilton Corner on Twitter. And, of course, you can listen on the radio. All right. Well, Jason asked me when I walked in the studio, Abe, do we have foolishness du jour? Man, we got a full slate of foolishness du jour. And I shared this story, part of the story, on social media. But I want to share it with the radio audience because this is just another one of those things. Again, talking about having our discernment sharpened. When we contend, and this is a perfect example why I say we have to, just like Nehemiah building the wall, contend with the sword and constructing the wall. We engage by preaching the gospel, making disciples, as well as contending in our civic spaces, because those who have the authority of government have the capacity to crush and to, I won't say crush, but to hinder, significantly hinder our ability to live out the free exercise of religion that allows us to have the freedom to share the gospel and make disciples in our country. So we're going to go to our neighbors up north for a second. Last week, and this story is combined with something that just happened this week, yesterday, in fact. Last week, a Supreme Court justice in the British Columbia Supreme Court in Canada, Justice Francesca Marzari, convicted a father of a criminal offense called family violence, convicted him for committing family violence against his 14-year-old daughter on the sole basis that he rejected her expressions of transgender identity. What happened in this case? And his daughter is 14, and in the article, because the court has sealed the records, they are referred to by pseudonyms, not their real name. So I'm going to refer to them as Clark and Maxine. Maxine is the daughter. She's 14 years old. Clark is the father. Maxine ended up going to court against her father because she declared herself to be a transgender boy. She's a biological girl, but saying that she identifies as a boy. Well, the government in Canada, in British Columbia, in the British Columbian province, said the father had to let her pursue treatment to become a boy. So over the father's objection, the court ordered physicians to start giving her, Maxine, injections, puberty blockers, and hormone treatments to allow her to be a boy. Well, the father, understandably so, was outraged and doing everything in his power to protect his baby girl, pursued help through politicians, did numerous interviews, and other things. The Justice Francesca Marzari, and I'm saying the name because I have some friends in Canada who listen to this show, Francesca Marzari convicted the father for committing the offense of family violence. What did he do? He consistently referred to his daughter as a girl in the media interview. That's it. Referred to his daughter as a daughter. Referred to her as she. Calling her by her female name. And the judge said, that's a crime. Just let that marinate for a second. See, family violence is a criminal offense. And this is one of the crimes our prosecutor is a prosecutor. Normally is a result of physical, at least in America, so far. But if you've been following the trends, things that happen up north end up kind of filtering its way down south eventually into America. Yeah. At one point, the father tried to get his daughter to watch a video with him at their home. Now, they still live in the same house. To watch a video with him about the insanity of transgender ideology. The little girl said she didn't want to watch it and went into her room. She told the judge. The judge said that's another basis for the criminal offense. But the bulk of the crime was for him referring to her as her in media interviews. And this is reported at thefederalist.com. Well, that was last week. Just this week. Today is Tuesday, so when I say this week, this happened yesterday, as reported by The Federalist. This same judge, Francesca Marzari, issued a protective order protecting Max, the 14-year-old daughter, Maxine, from the father. And according to the protective order, it allows for, should there be any additional reports of the so-called family violence, to allow this father to be arrested without a warrant. So at any moment, he can be arrested and taken to jail for refusing to refer to his daughter as a boy. Folks, this is happening right now. And when I shared this on social media, I shared, how long do you think this is going to be before this kind of stuff starts coming to America? There are people right now who want these kind of things to happen in America. Do I need to point you to the California legislator who basically was attempting to ban the Bible? Do I need to point that out? Do I need to point you to the numbers of state legislatures around the country that are banning what they refer to as conversion therapy, which I've said repeatedly, if these people believe gender is fluid and gender appears on a spectrum, if somebody can go from one place, like, for example, Max can go from a girl to a boy, why can't she go from a girl back, from a boy back to a girl, if gender is fluid? You see, they say it's fluid, but it only flows in one direction. These salmon only swim downstream, you see. And I'm saying, when you see, again, the frog in the pot of boiling water, how long do you think this stuff is coming? And this is why we have to cry aloud and spare not. At the same time, this Justice Mazzari also issued an order, check this out, expunging from the court record the names of two doctors who had been actively involved in pushing gender transition for Maxine, the 14-year-old daughter. One of these doctors, Dr. Wallace Wong, now that sounds like a quack, doesn't it? Wallace Wong. Wallace Wrong. Dr. Wallace Wong was recently rebuked for potentially diagnosing as much as 20% of the children in his local orphanage system with some form of gender dysphoria. Now, why was he brought under fire? Because you never had instances where 20% of children anywhere show up with the mental pathology known as gender dysphoria. But all of a sudden, under Wallace Wrong Wong, 20% of the children under what type of place? An orphanage. Isn't that convenient? And so these are the people that are telling Max that she should be a boy. And the judge ordered their names to be expunged from the court record, because they don't want them to get any blowback. Folks, this is tyranny. This is tyranny. So you have the government in Canada saying that if a father or a mother does not agree and they're attempting to protect their children from engaging what could potentially be life-altering drugs and injections, the government is saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. Folks, this is tyranny. This is tyranny disguised as a pursuit for equality. So, I mean, think of all the things that a child can't do without the permission of their parents. But they can get hormone blockers, drug injections. This, well, we better wake up. We better wake up. The things that were shared, I remember time after time, I was told to my face. This is before I had a radio audience, when I was trying to warn people primarily from the scriptures. When the Bible says, you know, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, that the moment you open the door to same-sex marriage, you cannot say you're going to limit it to that. Because once you reject God's order for marriage, you open your door to everything else, anything and everything else. And people told me, Ava, you and your slippery slope arguments. I'm saying it's not a slippery slope. This is where we are now. And then in America, we're not even debating same-sex marriage anymore. Oh, that's passé. Now we're debating transgenderism, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but over the weekend, another man, a biological man, was in a women's weightlifting competition and just shattered 4 world records in women's weightlifting, the deadlift, the bench press, the back squat. You know, if you know anything about weightlifting, these are power moves that men are naturally built to lift more than women. But we're going to all play like we're dumb. Oh, yeah, this is a wonderful accomplishment for women's weightlifting. Women are now stronger than ever before. That's not a woman. That's a man. But we're going to all play along with it. We better wake up, man. We better wake up. In other news, if you don't know, Venezuela is on fire right now. I mean, you have tanks and armored cars running over people in the streets. You have Juan Guaido, who is the reformer attempting to oust the socialist Nicolas Maduro, who refuses to allow his citizens to get help Americans and others have sent aid and food, and Maduro has burned it up, saying, oh, it's contaminated. They're trying to poison you. Even though they don't have food. They don't have zoo animals because their citizens are eating the animals. Juan Guaido shared a video on social media today where he was joined by another reformer, Leopoldo Lopez, who was his mentor, who had previously been under house arrest under the Maduro regime because Maduro considered him a threat to the government. And he's calling on people, they call it Operation Freedom, to rise up against the socialist Nicolas Maduro. And then, interestingly enough, I ran across a video from MSNBC where Andrea Mitchell was interviewing a reporter by the name of Kerry Sanders on the entire scenario that's going on in Venezuela. And they were discussing how it's been more difficult than many people expected for Maduro to be ousted. Maduro has been propped up by Russia, been propped up by Cuba. They have provided him boatloads of money. They flew a plane into Venezuela. The Russians flew a plane into Venezuela, loaded down with gold and cash. Just any event he needed to make a quick get out, he would get out with all this money. He's bolstered by Bolivia and all these other countries. Well, in his interview, Andrea Mitchell was interviewing Kerry Sanders about why it's been so difficult for the Maduro regime to be toppled. And I want you to listen to, some would describe this as a Freudian slip, because on MSNBC, they kind of have this allergy with the truth. But I guess a broken clock is right, at least twice a day. Listen to this little nugget offered by MSNBC in the outflow of what's happening in Venezuela. It's clip number one.
I think it has been surprising to a lot of people in Washington, in the administration at least, that this is taking longer than they thought, despite the sanctions, despite the pressure. With the help of Russia and other outside forces, Maduro is hanging on.
Not only hanging on, but he appears to still control the military. You have to understand, in Venezuela, gun ownership is not something that is open to everybody. So if the military have the guns, they have the power. And as long as Nicolas Maduro controls the military, he controls the country.
Oh! So that's why it's been so hard for him to be ousted. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, when Maduro originally came to power, and this is the same Maduro, I will remind you, that Bernie Sanders refused to refer to as a communist. I'm sorry, refused to refer to as a socialist. Bernie Sanders refused to say he's a socialist. Really, Bernie? And Bernie has refused to denounce him. Amazing. When Maduro came to power, initially, democratically, he was voted in. Democratic socialist. Where have I heard that before? Along with his ascendancy to power in Venezuela, it also coincided with massive gun control. Isn't that interesting? So while Maduro comes to power in Venezuela, he also, just so happened as a little coinkydink, took the guns away from the citizenry. Then after he was elected democratically, he then decides, you know what? We're not going to have any more democratic elections. Bernie at least had to admit, yeah, this last election really wasn't democratic. And so how has Maduro been able to stay in power so long? Because the military are the only ones with guns. See, the Venezuelan people, they're protesting with rocks and bottles and Molotov cocktails, but they don't have the guns. Marty, they don't have the sparks. They can't, their resistance is limited to their philosophical and moral arguments. But Nicolas Maduro responds by saying, okay, y'all can talk that trash if you want, but I got the sparks. So the reason why he's still in power there, the socialist dictator who ascended to the presidency through democratic means, took the guns from the Venezuelan people, and now they can't get rid of them, though he's run the country into the ground. Again, we better wake up, because it's strangely coincidental that the socialists in America want to do the same thing. Well, guess what, folks? Take a page out of Venezuela's book. The socialists get power. They take your guns, then you never get rid of the socialists. Congratulations. Sounds eerily similar to prior socialist governments. I'm thinking, maybe the National Socialist German Workers' Party? Or how about the United Soviet Socialist Republic? Where did that? Weren't they? Yeah, they also didn't like for their citizens to have guns, because they know if the people have guns, their power is jeopardized. But if the people don't have guns, You can say whatever you want, but we ain't going nowhere.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
And you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Only two religions. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Jewish radio host Dennis Prager and Christian pastor Alistair Begg recently took part in an event to discuss theological issues. Their interchange made clear that all religions, including some Christian ones, are based on man earning favor through doing good works. Only biblical Christianity is based on Christ earning favor for us through his work on the cross. It's the difference that makes all the difference. Romans 4 says, "Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then join us this weekend for part two.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A basketball coach lands in foul trouble. That story next. The head coach of the Animas High School basketball team in New Mexico resigned after atheist complained about his team's wardrobe. Seems the local church youth group had given the team T-shirts with a message from the Bible: "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The coach was also accused of organizing a Bible study. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, a Wisconsin-based group of perpetually offended atheists, agnostics, and freethinkers, took credit for the coach's resignation. They say he violated the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. The school district was quick to throw the basketball coach under the bus. They told the coach such behavior was unacceptable, and after an investigation, the coach resigned. It's a mighty sad day in America when a high school basketball coach is deemed unfit to serve because he's a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, where we're just diagnosing the utter hypocrisy of MSNBC making the observation that the reason why it's been so difficult to get rid of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela is because the military are the only ones with the guns. And some may not be aware, unlike in America, we have, you know, our national military, and we also have local police units. Well, in countries like Venezuela, the military are as well the local police. So they call them Policia Nacional. So when the military are the ones that have all the guns, they're also the people that do the local police work as well. Aren't you glad we have Posse Comitatus in America, where the military doesn't do local policing? But they have all the guns. So the people, they're protesting peacefully. They're taking civil action. But Maduro was like, "Yeah, y'all can do all of that. I'm not going anywhere." Why? Because y'all can't make me. We better wake up in America, man. We better wake up in America. We will open the phone lines this segment. If you'd like to join the program, the number to call is 888. 589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. If you'd like to join the program, you're welcome to do so. And what I'd like to ask you is, what is your reaction when you see the Supreme Court of British Columbia convicting a father of a crime called family violence for referring to his daughter as a girl? Then on top of that, threatening him that if he continues to refer to his daughter as a girl publicly, he's going to be arrested. No warrant necessary. Are you serious? I'd like to get your reactions to that as well. I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about what seems to be this move right out of a socialist playbook? Whenever you study history, it happens time after time after time. Socialists ascend to power. One of the first things they do, take the guns from the people. Why did they do that? Venezuela is a case study of that right now, so that they can remain in power perpetually. Because if the citizens cannot hold the government accountable, one of the most basic ways that they do so is that you have a private right to keep and bear arms. The socialist dictators don't fancy that too much. So I'd like to get your reaction to that as well. The number again to call is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. And I'm seeing some, I haven't looked up any reports on this yet, but it seems like there may be another school shooting. So I'll try to grab some information about that. Maybe if you could maybe get something on that for me. Jeff, I don't want to speak inaccurately on this, but that is absolutely amazing to consider. Another piece of foolishness du jour, and I file this under the, really? Yeah, it really took you guys to study this? There's been a new report released by the National Institute of Health, published today in the Journal of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. This study, and in particular, Dr. Lisa Horowitz, PhD and an NPH, who is a clinical scientist in the National Institute of Mental Health's Intramural Research Program, she made the connection. According to this study, immediately following the release of Netflix's 13 Reasons Why, it was associated with a 28.9% increase in suicide rates among American youth ages 10 to 17. Now, this series was released in April of 2017. Some of you may remember, we here at the American Family Association, we said, you fools, why would you create a series that glorifies a child taking their own lives? Children are very impressionable. Doing this sort of thing will contribute. And we told you to contribute of other children repeating it. We told you the story of Anna Bright, who her parents, and I'm sharing this because she came to us and allowed us to share the story. I actually interviewed Anna Bright's mom right here on this program. Anna Bright took her life after binge watching 13 Reasons Why. Well, this is not just what we tried to warn Netflix about. Now the National Institute of Health has studied it. I wonder what made them study it. Could it be that you had an uptick of young people? And that's what the study shows. And this is, are we that insensitive, that callous, that we're going to just continue to go along with it like it's nothing? The study also highlighted the fact that this increase in suicide also applied to the month of March, which just so happened to be the month where they were advertising this series nonstop. 28.9% increase in suicide rates. The study went in to say, well, sometimes it could be environmental factors and other social factors that contribute. And sometimes when that occurs, you see an equivalency between suicide rates and homicide rates in general. But when they studied it, they found, no, homicide rates stayed the same. The only thing that changed was suicide rates, and particularly with younger Americans. Some tried to take issue with the study and saying, well, you know, Americans ages 18 to 64 didn't have an increase. But how does that take away from the fact that their children ages 10 to 17 have a 28.9% increase? And the study admits within the text of the study that the research is compelling, but there are limitations. That because of the study's design, they cannot affirmatively state that this was a causation study, but it's rather interesting. And as I told you, Dr. Lisa Horowitz said that the results of the study show that she said this, quote, the result of this study should raise awareness that young people are particularly vulnerable to the media. I'm not telling y'all what to do, but as for the Hamiltonian household, we chunk the deuce to Netflix. We chunk the deuce to them. I mean, and many of these are the same people who say they're all about compassion and love. But I guess not if that conflicts with them making that money and putting out this smut. And if you're listening to this, man, please protect your families. Anna Bright's family had no clue that she was watching 13 Reasons Why. Please protect your families. Obviously, I'm not saying that her family's responsible, not in the least bit. But I'm saying that let's make sure that we're doing whatever we can to be diligent in protecting our families from these sort of things. Because this is unconscionable. And I mean, we attempted to contact Reed Hastings, the CEO at Netflix, saying, please take this down. This is not good. Children are so impressionable, people are going to hurt from this. Some of them may even try to replicate what's depicted in the show. It seems like we were prophetic on that. And now the studies are supporting it. To the phone lines we go. We'll go first to New Mexico, where Hector is on the line. Hector, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hamilton. I appreciate it. Hey, one thing you said about President Maduro down in Venezuela.
Yeah.
His predecessor, I forgot his name, but I remember watching TV. I speak Spanish, and I remember him walking around in Venezuela going, oh, we're going to take over that company. We're going to give the money to the poor.
Uh-huh.
Just like Bernie Sanders said not too long ago about Disney making the $2 billion. I mean, isn't that putting shivers down people's spines that somebody saying, oh, they made money. We need to take that away from them.
Man, good call, Hector. Thank you so much for that. And the person you're referring to is Hugo Chavez. Maduro's predecessor was Hugo Chavez. He didn't want to do much but, you know, just nationalize industry, just to use the government to control the means of production and the distribution of goods. That's socialism, folks. That move forward, let's take all the guns. The military's the only one with guns. And you're spot on, Hector. Thank you so much for your call and your comments. I really, really appreciate it. We'll go next to the great state of Texas, where Arthur is on the line. And before we get Arthur, some of the updates that Jeff pulled up for me, it looks like there are three people who were shot at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and the shooter has been apprehended. So that is, you know, the shooter has been apprehended, but I don't know the state of those who have been shot, the victims of the shooting. I don't know if they are injured or recovering, things of that nature. This is all happening right now. So we'll try to provide some follow-up on this on tomorrow's program because we're approaching the end of the show. But we'll go back to the phone lines, as I stated. The great state of Texas, where Arthur is on the line. Arthur, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Abe. Appreciate your time and appreciate your show and all the truth that you bring every day. And I continue to pray for you and just a beacon of light in this dark world. We need it. And I appreciate what you're saying about the truth that you're bringing about just the possession of firearms and our freedom and why the Second Amendment is there is to protect us from tyranny.
Yeah.
I don't think it's talked enough.
Yeah.
I don't think it's talked about enough in media. I think we need to be more vocal about that and just what you're doing is continue to bring the truth. And just like this shooting in North Carolina, we pray for those victims. But the only way to stop a madman with a gun is to have a good guy with a gun there to stop him. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in.
I agree. Thank you, Arthur, very much for your call and your comments, and you're spot on. You know, people, this is one of the great deficiencies of our educational system, not delving deeply into the debates that frame the Bill of Rights, understanding how that even some people who participated in shaping the Constitution, the original articles of the Constitution, refused to sign on to it because it did not have sufficient assurances of individual liberty. And, you know, it's often stated that it is the Second Amendment that protects the First Amendment. The reason why the founders promulgated a private right to keep and bear arms as a part of the Bill of Rights was to be a last-ditch effort to oppose tyranny. That was these were expressed conversations. You can look into the Federalist Papers. You see the debates between the Federalists versus the Anti-Federalists. The purpose for the private right to keep and bear arms were for individuals to protect themselves against an overwhelming federal, or as they described it, national government. If the Venezuelan people had a Second Amendment, you probably wouldn't see Nicolas Maduro holding on to power. The people have had their fill of the socialist experiment, and they don't want it. But the military members, who get all types of perks and benefits, they are remaining loyal to Maduro, many of them, not all of them, and they just so happen to be the ones who have weapons. How do you think that's going to fare when you have those with weapons and those without weapons? Of course, God can do anything, but you have a much better chance if you get to have some Marty with some sparks too. Yeah. Back to the phone lines we go. We'll go next to Louisiana, where Brian is on the line. Brian, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I wanted to talk about how you had mentioned that young children can decide for themselves that they want a sex change. And you could also think about how they're pushing for young girls to be able to decide for themselves that they can get an abortion. So I think, you know, from that perspective, logically, why can't young children decide for themselves who they want and don't want to have sex with? So I think legalizing pedophilia is right around the corner, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Thank you.
No, I think you're right, Brian, and I've said many times, when you see the consistent reference to the ever-expanding letters in the acronym LGBTQIAP+, keep your eyes on the plus. What's the plus for if the acronym covers everything? And I am telling you, and I've shared, I played audio in this program of TED Talks of people advocating for, they don't want to refer to them as pederasts and pedophiles, they refer to them as minor attracted persons and youth attracted persons. And the question that should be asked is, well, if it's about consent and love, then what will prohibit, as you stated, and some may think this is far-fetched, but remember, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, we thought same-sex marriage was far-fetched. Now we got winning women's weightlifting competitions and saying that this is showing the expanded strength of women. So in the name of equality, we are willing to trample the rights of women and girls. Yeah. So some may think that's far off, Brian, but I don't. And I think that you will see in short order, you will see more and more. And part of the reason why I know this is because of my background as a prosecutor. When you had sex criminals who were convicted of sex crimes, they would be in their treatment in prison. They would be told that you don't need to change anything. You just need to learn to suppress your urges. And many of the earliest proponents of the same-sex marriage movement, they included those who would describe themselves as minor attracted and youth attracted persons. And they say, we will support the same-sex marriage initiatives because just as they will have their day as homosexuality is normalized in mainstream, so too will we, as minor attracted and youth attracted, have our day. Write it down. It's coming. Try to squeeze Hunt in Arkansas. Hunt, you have 15 seconds. Go, my man.
Hello, Mr. Hamilton. Thank you for all you do. God bless you. If you would, get your team and take that clip you had from MSNBC, sir, and please make it go viral. There's nothing better than feeding them crow, sir.
Thank you for that, Hunt. That's a good suggestion. Listen, if you have not yet found safety in the ark that is Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your hearts when he calls.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.